All right, welcome everybody. Welcome to this episode of O365A. So in this episode, we're going to tackle Teams device updates. And there's been a slew of them announced at Ignite and just over the last couple months. So we thought we'd do a quick rundown and give you a 15-minute what you need to know segment so you can be all caught up on Teams devices. So I'll kick things off with Microsoft Teams Rooms feature announcements. Some of these came out at Ignite. One of the things that was announced was direct join for BlueJeans and GoToMeetings is coming. This is fantastic because basically that'll expand the list of partners where direct guest join is offered right from Microsoft Teams. And you'll be able to join a third-party meeting right from a Teams Rooms device. And this is expected to roll out in the first half of 2022. Also, there was a room check-in directly from Teams panel announced. What this allows you to do is do an in-person room check-in for attendance and to also maximize capacity of that room. So what happens is users can check in the room directly just by tapping a button right on the panel. And or you can leave it to a room occupancy sensor that will sense if anybody's in the room. And if nobody's using the room, it'll free it up for other people to reserve that room and use it. And that's coming and just at Ignite, they said coming in the following months. So I expect that in 2 to 3 months. Another one that was announced was hot desking on Teams display. So this will provide a way to reserve a Teams workspace ahead of time, and more importantly, just walk in and gain access and sign into your Teams account so that you can make calls and do ad hoc meetings with your personal account right from the Teams display. And lastly, something that I don't know a lot about, but there's recently Teams has announced support for Facebook portal devices. So basically this allows you to launch the Teams app on a new generation of Facebook portal hardware. Microsoft did not certify these hardware devices, so it's not like a true MTR display experience, but for those who use Facebook portal devices, this could be really useful for you. So that's coming in December of 2021, so any day now. Habib, I think you had some announcements on the device management area.
Yeah, so I mean, now that you have all these devices rolled out, you need to be able to manage them. So from a Teams Admin Center, they've expanded the scope of Teams devices as we were talking about. So currently today, there's like Teams Rooms on Windows, Teams Rooms on Android in phones, and then they've expanded it to also include panels, display, and then SIP devices, which Michael Landino will talk about a little later on. So with that, once you have all these devices in, you know, registered against Teams, you have to be able to manage them. So they're coming out with a new device analytics dashboard, which contains all of the different devices that you have in your organization and allows you to see like all of the metrics across like different inventory distribution in the locations, like weekly utilization. You know, if there's issues, you can focus on specific devices and filter down the data. You can also export the data out. You can share it to channels as well, is what they're saying. So then you can basically utilize these key metrics to focus on specific rooms that require attention. And then with that, there's new device management alerts. So you'll be able to, trigger based on a certain device health so that you can sort of take some sort of corrective action for it. So you can send that to a channel, which comes up as an alert. And then I believe they're saying in Q1 of 2022, you're going to be able to trigger to like third-party ticketing systems. So you can create a third-party, a ticket in a third-party ticket system, maybe like ServiceNow, that maybe has somebody go and look at the room and see if there's something, you know, physically wrong with the appliance or the devices and stuff like that, right? And then the next is workspace management. So be able to see all of the data and analytics for devices in a specific location. So like all of the devices in a meeting room. So if you have an MTR in there with multiple devices and TVs and so on, you'll be able to see all of that information and the health of that room and all of the devices within there. And just making sure that everything sort of conforms to like a specific standard that you're going to be doing. So that what they're saying is by the end of February 2022, but I'm not sure, if things will change by then. And then what also is new as well that you didn't have before, you'd be able to manage Surface Hubs in Teams Admin Center. So previously, you'd have to register them and manage them through Intune. And now they're bringing that experience into the Teams Admin Center to be able to manage them there as well. And then there's actually a new type of, I guess Teams devices, which are like, they're called displays. So Galink is coming out with the Desk Vision AI024, which is basically a 24-inch display that can be a standalone device for Teams collaboration. You can also connect it to a PC to be like a second monitor. It includes things like, speakerphone, audio, video, that kind of functionality. So these are, I think, some of the newer types of devices that are coming out. And I'm sure that a lot of the other manufacturers are looking to build something like this in the coming year. So over to you, Dino, to talk about the new, SIP Gateway.
Yeah, thanks, Ab. So for a very long time, since Teams has been introduced and the calling workloads have transition from Skype to Teams, customers have been asking for the capability of being able to use their legacy telephone sets, on Teams. So, the ability to be able to use like Cisco phones, for example, they're migrating from Cisco to Teams. They want to be able to use these sets and not lose their investment. So Microsoft announced the SIP Gateway functionality back at Ignite, and on December 6th, they GA'd the SIP Gateway functionality. So what the heck is this SIP Gateway and how does it help us? Well, exactly like what I just talked about, Microsoft wanted a way to enable the core calling functionality for these customers running these legacy telephone sets and be able to allow them to be used in Teams. So out of the gate. And so before I talk about what's supported, I think it's important to note, Microsoft already has a SIP gateway that for Skype phones or 3PIP phones, and that's continuing to work and still works. But the difference here is that those were already certified phones or 3PIP phones that worked on Skype for Business. So what we're talking about here are phones that previously weren't certified or couldn't work on Skype for Business. So with that, we've got out of the gate at GA, we have support for Cisco IP phones, very popular 6821, the 7800 and the 8800 series, the full line of Poly VDX phones. So this is a big one. There's a lot of them out there. These phones are already supported on the 3PIP enabled phones. So depending on the customer, if you already using them under 3PIP mode, you might consider going to the SIP gateway or just you could remain on the 3PIP mode. Galink, the T series is supported, and the Audio Code 400 HD series is also supported under the gate. So and with that, the current feature list is the ability obviously to make and receive calls. You can hold and resume calls, mute and unmute, voicemail with message waiting indicator. You can transfer a call, forward a call, join a team meeting, which is obviously important. It does support DTMF and codes and do not disturb mode. The SIP gateway today only supports IPv4. I'm not sure if there's any plans for roadmap for IPv6. So your phones will have to have an IPv4 address. There is no E911 support today. In terms of licensing, it doesn't cost anything extra from a Microsoft perspective to do this. So if you're a Teams user that wants to use a Cisco phone, for example, there wouldn't be a Microsoft related cost, just like there isn't for a Teams phone. However, if Cisco, you know, requires you to pay for their MVP license, so in Canadian dollars, it's somewhere up to about $200 a phone just to get that firmware enabled. So there is some cost associated with it. The VBX, it's a free upgrade to switch to the SIP 2.0 standard. I think Yealink is the same. There's no charge. I'm not 100% sure about audio codes. I think it's also free. So that's probably going to weigh into the customer's decision. I'm not sure about roadmap, not officially announced by Microsoft, but lots of customers are asking for analog support to be able to support analog gateways so that they could, these things should be retired, but there's still a lot of demand to be able to use analog gateways like overhead pagers, door support. And then, yes, there's still support for fax. People are asking for that. Hopefully Mitel and Avaya will also be made available, because I have a lot of customers with, you know, pretty modern Mitel and Avaya phone sets. It's in terms of language support, we have English, Spanish, Japanese, German, French, and Portuguese. And so with that, I'll pass it over to Michael to talk a little bit about setup.
Yeah, thanks, Tino. Yeah, I think the big thing with the 3-pip phones that are using the Skype interop service, that service is going away July 31st, 2023. So if you have those devices, you also need to think about you moving those or transitioning those over to the SIP gateway. And so now that the feature has gone general availability, we have a new policy that controls it. So there's a calling policy. And if you go in the Teams admin center, there's an option that says SIP devices can be used for calls. And so any user that has that policy with that feature turned on, they can then sign into one of these SIP devices. By default, that policy is turned off. So it's not like someone could just plug in a VVX phone and sign into it. You will have to have a policy that will allow them to have that feature. And the service is provisioned in North America, EMEA, and in APAC regions. So we do have that global coverage. And so how it works is you're going to have to configure the handset with a provisioning URL from Microsoft. So these are published. The IPs used for the service is published as well. So you may need to use, you know, conditional access to allow them. You may need to adjust your firewall rules to allow this infrastructure. But basically, you're going to have to put that provisioning URL in the device. So that's either done through DHCP or manually. And that does mean that it's not pointing to your maybe existing provisioning services that you have used from the vendor. So you may lose some of the customizations that you're pushing out in that aspect. So you'll have to keep that in mind. And then basically, because the provisioning is done from the Microsoft service, Microsoft's controlling what devices are permitted. So as Dino mentioned, there's a handful of manufacturers and certain devices that are supported. And because Microsoft is kind of fronting the authentication with a web app, we don't actually get the SIP credentials that are being used on the device. So it's not like you could take the username and password for that's given to that device and go to another device and try and sign into it. You won't be able to access that information. So when you get the device connected to the provisioning service, you're going to hit sign on. It's going to show you an authentication URL similar to when you do a web sign in on a Teams phone. And it's going to give you a pairing code. You're going to go to another device, your mobile device, your mobile phone, your laptop, your desktop. You're going to go to that URL, put the code in, and then you're going to authenticate with your user credentials. That device is going to then show up in the Teams admin center, as Hab mentioned, where you can sign out of the device. You could do remote provisioning. You can restart. You could check for updates. Also, the preview label has been removed. I think that was still showing for a couple of weeks. So you have that manageability for these SIP devices. If you're dealing with common area devices, you can do that one or bulk import, similar to like on the Android side for handsets. So you would get, you know, a bunch of verification codes. You can go to the device. There's a pairing code that you're going to use. So it's a key sequence that you're going to type in, put your code in, and then it's going to show up in the admin center where you can then go to the sign in URL, put the credentials in, and then sign in the device remotely. So similar experience as the Teams Android handsets. And so, like I mentioned before, the sign-in process is abstracted with that web authentication mechanism. So the SIP device doesn't support OAuth, right? So we're not using modern authentication. We need to make adjustments on our conditional access because it is using that SIP registration, which is what's supported by those devices. So keep that in mind. And again, you can't, you know, get those details to sign into to a device that's maybe not on the list. My hope, similar to Dino's, is support for ATAs, support for paging devices. So, you know, a SIP paging endpoint, being able to direct register so that we don't have to deploy a full session border controller on premises, set up direct routing just for the ability to hit a paging, overhead paging device. So a lot of information, and hopefully we see just the start of the roadmap for this functionality.
Well, that's great, guys. Good coverage of all the latest, greatest stuff with devices. It's devices are, of course, front and center with user experience. So nice to see this this evolving. All right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.